right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello and welcome to the 93rd edition of the Space City Nerd Podcast. I'm Jesus, here along with Rex.
Yo.
And also Ryan.
Yo.
And it's been a slow week, so we're not even going to do our little week in review. Nothing really interesting happened.
I played Batman.
Yeah. I played Honey Pop for 20 hours. And it doesn't sound like, if you think about it, because it's been like a week or so, so that doesn't seem like that long, but it was like 20 hours in a 30-hour time period, pretty much. So,
I think we all played Honey Pop for that or more. So, welcome to the club.
It's so good.
Who's your favorite?
I thought we talked about this. Is Audrey?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was Audrey, like, when I started. Now that I've, like, played through the game and everything, Celeste, the alien girl, is by far my favorite.
Hey, is it Honey Pop or Huni Pop?
I've been calling it Honey Pop, but it could also be Huni Pop. I've heard people call it both, so
I'm gonna call it Huni Pop now.
I was gonna say it's a probably horrible Japanese translation, but it's not made by the Japanese.
No, not at all.
Isn't there also like Money's, or is spelled with a U as well?
Yeah, Money spelled with a U.
MUNNIE, Money.
Yeah, when I was playing, I normally didn't have any trouble with collecting munis or whatever. I think I bought everything in that shop, including all the underwear and stuff. Oh, no, you get that afterwards.
Yeah, you get that after the...
Yeah. Well, speaking of someone that does have problems collecting munis, Grease is in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're talking about this. They're multiplying. It's in trouble.
Not Grease Lightning, but the country lighting itself.
So we've known about this for a while. I mean, didn't they really? They owe the IMF, not International Mission Impossible Mission Force, the International Monetary Fund. Sorry, Tom Cruise. Several billion dollars.
$248 billion, I think.
$248 billion.
I've been watching this. Normally we talk about like nerdy things, comic books and video games.
Hey, stuff, man, money is nerdy too.
Yeah, it is. I've been watching this, like, just really waiting for things to explode and happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening. So, because they couldn't pay their payment, the thing that I think is funniest is they're going to have a referendum on Sunday. And because no country has defaulted on their loans.
Except for war-torn African countries.
Exactly, but... Yeah, like Zimbabwe, where you can have like $1 trillion bills over there and stuff. But no, so since no other country has done this, nobody knows how to handle it.
Yeah, I was wondering what's going to happen.
So they're just going to play by ear while they're at the referendum.
I was just like, well, the rest of Europe's mad at us because we're.
But no, it's going to be a very tense situation. I mean, I feel bad for the people out there in Greece because. It's mainly like Greece's tax system that's very corrupt and doesn't allow.
They spend like some of that money is because they spent a shit ton on the Olympics several years ago. And so they're kind of like under debt with that, too.
That's maybe like 10% of the $284 billion. I don't think you can spend, $1 billion on the Olympics.
Yeah, I also heard that over the weekend there were like people were not sure what's going to happen on Monday, and there were like a lot of people were withdrawing all their monies from their bank account. It's a Wonderful Life bullshit right there.
Yeah, no, there were like lines at ATMs, and same ATMs just refused to service, so you had to go to the bank, and there were lines out there. But it's a really crazy and scary situation. Mm-hmm. I it sounds bad, but I'm going to be rubbernecking this whole weekend, just trying to see what happens and what comes out of that.
Oh man, yeah. Is it? I have to ask. Is it cheap now to go to Greece on vacation?
did you see the Indiegogo?
There's an Indiegogo.
There's an Indiegogo. I forgot about that.
For to help relief the debt.
Who started it?
A Greek citizen.
Oh my god!
And it's funny, like if you look at the rewards, one of them is like a Greek sandwich, like a euro. It'll be mailed to your house. I'm like, I swear, look it up. And then another one is like for 5,000 euros, you get a if you're a resident of the European Union, you get an all-inclusive trip to Athens.
Yeah, they can't afford to bring anyone else here in America there.
Yeah, and then I was laughing because there are some that are like a bottle of Greek wine, and then it's like, well, it'll be a novelty bottle because Indiegogo doesn't allow alcoholic transactions or whatever.
Have or that Greek beer, that Oikos or whatever.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called, the other one, but that was another one of the rewards. And then, no, 1 million euros. It's like, you're a cool guy. You get, like, wine and this gift basket and a trip to Greece. That's it.
If I don't pay 1 million euros, I want to live in the Parthenon.
Yeah.
I will be Zeus, and they will refer to me as Zeus.
But I think in 2 days, they raised, like, 486,000 euros, which...
That's nowhere close. That's not even a drop of a bucket.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, if like compared to these video game like Kickstarters that make, million, $2 million overnight, overnight, the fate of this country can't gather enough support. That's kind of bad.
That's kind of sucks. Freaking Greeks should have, kickstarted Shenmue 3. They would have gotten it.
I wonder if there's going to be any stretch goals on that Indiegogo.
Stretch goal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I want a hero now. And some hummus.
So, speaking of munis and people that can rake in munis, America's birthday is this weekend.
America! So,
America. Maybe America should just buy Greece out.
Yeah. If Donald Trump's our next president, maybe he'll start buying up all the countries.
Oh, man. Okay,
what if America buys Greece? What could we do? I mean...
We'd get more debt, and
that's stupid. Don't buy Greece, America. Stop that.
It'd be like America's vacation spot.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know if I told the story on the podcast before, but some people know that I came from the Philippines and really I wasn't born in America, but my mom came to America first. She can become a nurse and trying to reach the American dream. But my dad could not get a visa. I can get a visa because I was a kid under 12 and my mom was approved. My mom was approved because she could be a nurse here, but my dad can't. Anyway, after a year or so, my mom was like, I don't want to live here anymore, away from my family. I'm just going to go home to the Philippines, just live my rest of my life there because my dad couldn't get approved. So my mom and dad are in the market, going to the market. I was in school. Really, really random. She runs into her friend here who she met in America. And her friend was like, what are you doing? She was like, mom was like, just go to the market. Her friend was like, no, drop everything. Today and today only, they are giving amnesty to all spouses. No questions asked. And it's so random. First of all, she runs into her my mom runs to her friend, and then she was like, that day was the amnesty only. My mom didn't know about it, dropped everything, went to the embassy, got all the paperwork, and in like 2 months, I'm in America.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so crazy happenstance, crazy coincidence. It's crazy. But because of that, I'm here in America.
I have an immigration story as well.
What's up?
My parents both are citizens, but... I was almost born in Mexico because my mom was pregnant and I was in her stomach. So yeah, we were in Mexico at the time and she was about to go into labor and my dad was like, nope, he's going to be an American. And so they brought me right over and then they had me.
They're like, yeah, no, so, no, he, no, we're going to make. So Rex, do you have your Coming to America story?
Oh, man, I can't even think of anything, like, witty to say after that that just wouldn't come off as terrible.
You could have just said something about, like, your ancestors wanting, like, religious freedom, and then they got on the Mayflower and came over.
What is your, like, genealogy? Where did your family come from?
He's from the planet of Naboo.
Yeah, like, I might as well Rex be. Naboo. I honestly, like, don't know much about my, like, heritage at all. I've tried to find things, and all I've gotten were a lot of, like, vague, like, oh, such and such, such and such, such and such. But I haven't been able to get a straight answer out of, like, anybody pretty much ever.
You look kind of Slavic.
Yeah, and also maybe possibly, like, Italian, and the last name is very obviously, like, French, because it's not actually, like, neighbors, it's neighbor, but everybody just says neighbors all the time, and that's just kind of co-opted over the years.
I'm gonna put you in, like, a tracksuit and dress shoes, and I want you to squat to do, like, one of those Slavic squats.
Yes.
You should wear glasses, kind of redo your image, and become like a shoegazer or musician, and you be neighbor.
That'd
be
your name. Oh my god. That would be so good.
Yeah.
Oh no, but I wish Sean was on here, because I think Sean, he's
Irish, right?
But his name is Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Italian. Never mind.
Yeah, he's got Italian people, like, in his family and stuff, because he's got stories of Italian relatives and stuff.
Yeah, and he has, like, an Italian grandma in, like, New York or something.
Yeah. Like, a lot of his family's in New York. He's got, like, relatives that are, like, Guidos, like, cousins. Like, just straight up, like, Jersey Shore.
I like how we're talking about him when he's not on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I actually called him Irish, and he can't defend himself and get mad at me.
I think he kind of is, though. We'll ask him later.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Wait, Irish and Italian? So somewhere along those lines, those people got together and were like, we're not enemies anymore. And then, I mean, because didn't they hate each other? I mean, Gangs of New York taught me anything. It was the Irish hate the Italians.
Ryan's American history comes from movies. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, freaking Daniel Day-Lewis and Leonardo DiCaprio. Great movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But no, we're glad America's having its birthday. Which one is it? 230,
40? I stopped counting at 21 because I want her to remain young forever.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any plans for the 4th of July?
I want to play Assassin's Creed 3 over and over again. I'm kidding. No, I'm just
Broforce.
Watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson over and over again. Okay, well, since we're talking about that, where I live, I can't do fireworks, and I did not know this existed, but people actually will like, duct tape sparklers together and make sparkler bombs.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not know that. My coworker was like, I'm going to make a sparkler bomb. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he shows me this YouTube video, like, hundreds of sparklers, duct tape or electrical tape together. You have a little one that sticks out, so that becomes a fuse, and it explodes into, like, glittery glory.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I need to buy sparklers this year so I can do that again.
And they're cheap, too, and they give those away when you buy a shit ton of fireworks, so I guess that's why people do it.
No, they don't give those away. They're called punks. They're to light the fireworks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I actually live out in the boonies, so I already have some fireworks ready.
Really?
Sweet.
Yeah. Got a couple Saturn missiles and also a bunch of the artillery shells.
Yeah.
So, and also my neighbor from, like, two houses down, he, like, his whole family's full of veterans, and so he buys like $3,000 worth of, like, fireworks.
Oh my god.
And we get, like, our own, like, 45-minute, like, fireworks show.
That's so good.
I live close enough to downtown, I guess I can just look out the window. And they're gonna have Freedom Over Texas, that, like country music event, like, next to my apartment, so it's gonna suck.
Yeah, well, over here, like, two doors down, it's, like, nothing but fireworks and barbecue and CCR playing.
I'm going to have Clint Black in, like, in the park near me playing, and I'm like, oh my god,
your backyard,
I can't drive.
Essentially.
Yeah, it's like I can't drive down Allen Parkway because everyone's here.
Yup.
What about you, Rex?
I don't have plans yet. Like, July 4th has always been like a weird holiday for me because
we don't
do fireworks, my family. Like, we used to do them a lot when I was a kid, but my little brother actually got, I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago, was doing fireworks with his friends on New Year's, and one of them shot him in the eye with a Roman candle, and he almost lost his eye. And, like, there's all this, he had to get, like, a bunch of plastic surgery done and stuff. It was really, really insane. So, for me now, 4th of July is that time when my mom just posts a lot of, like, anti-firework rants on Facebook, like, all the time. So, Mom, if you're listening to this, I'm not doing fireworks this year, but I'm totally going to do fireworks.
How old was your younger brother when that happened? Just curious.
Oh, God, he was 14.
Ew.
Yeah, you had to be 14 because
that's the ripe
now.
Age for yeah. you know.
That actually yeah. happened to me in New Year's. I was holding a Roman candle and it backfired and it blew the rest down onto me, but it hit my jacket, so I was kind of fine.
I've had Roman candles shot at my back, but then like one of them didn't light up, and so it was just like this projectile, and it hit me. It hit my like I had like one of those like army type jackets, and it hit it. And left like a huge welt. And then also I've had a bottle rocket that's been thrown manually into the air, not light up until it arched down and then just landed on my arm.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. That sounds,
yeah, it was all right. It's whatever.
Yeah, I'm alive.
Yeah. I've had black cats explode in my hand and stuff.
I've had that.
Yeah.
You still have your hands. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of my favorite internet videos is when that dog, when they had like that those fireworks and they were about to launch, and the dog grabs it it was firing the fireworks at the people.
There's one fireworks video that I can't find that is like one of my favorite. This kid is like doing the splits between two cars, like the bumper of a car and a truck, and they have a bottle rocket right underneath him. And it wasn't on purpose, but he had a hole in the crotch of his pants, and the bottle rocket actually went up the hole.
Oh, I've seen that.
Poor son of a bitch. Oh, no. Well, if you're listening to this kid, I hope you're okay.
Either way, if you're doing fireworks, stay safe. Keep the kids safe and all that, too.
Yeah, keep the kids safe. Make sure, you know, it's fun, but try to follow the instructions just because, you know, you don't want to have loose fingers.
Yeah.
Or have Roman candles in your eye.
Yeah, and then have to get like 2 years worth of plastic surgery and
ooh, that sucks.
Yeah. It was pretty rough.
Don't mix fireworks either. That's a lot of people do, and it's kinda like
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about the whole thing I mentioned earlier about the sparkler bomb. Don't do that.
Well, no, sparkler bombs aren't that bad.
Yeah. It's like one of the most harmless things you can do with fireworks.
Yeah, but I mean it's like people were like tie the fuses together for like an artillery shell and also like a Roman candle and stuff, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Or you shove like you get the artillery like tube and you shove like 5 or 6 of them down in there, some of them that aren't even like the same size, and then
exactly
get shocked when it falls over and like just kind of explodes and one of them like launches. I've totally never done that before or anything. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So moving on. Also, I mean, one of the things that we're known here for in America is our space program. Mm-hmm. And Houston just got a spaceport authorized.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. It's going to be down in Ellington by NASA and everything. And
ooh, nice.
Yeah. I can't wait for that. You know, when we have just, I guess, public space transportation, such as SpaceX happening. And what happened with SpaceX, Ryan?
It blew up.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. I mean, it's... I mean, I'm not. Everyone's like, "Oh no!" And then, and whatchamacallit, what they lost a lot of money. But I guess it's a learning experience. I mean, I don't want them to quit. I mean, I do like the idea they might privatize it and then kind of have more people trying to learn how to go to space.
Mm-hmm.
It's just rich people in the world. Please, if you're listening to this, please don't get discouraged.
Don't give money to Greece. Give money to space.
Yes. Yeah. Or send Greece to space. But I mean, it's kind of bitter. It sucks, and I'm glad no one got hurt. But there's always just adjust, and you know, you're doing this for mankind to live his little dirt ball and colonize the world. I mean, the universe.
I know. We still have Virgin. They're trying to still go to space and all that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, SpaceX is owned by Elon Musk, right? The guy who owns Tesla.
Tesla, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what does Elon's Musk smell like?
Oh man. That's gonna be once again July 4th is this weekend. Stay safe. The roads. You know, keep away from the drinking and driving and stuff like that too.
Stay home.
We just hit a little bit on space. We're going to continue with some spaces right now, or some space themes. And we're going to be right back with ufologist Daryl Sims, which should be a really interesting interview. But before that, we're gonna play Trident off of DJ Rob's Solaris Part 3. It's a very space-themed album, and we thought it was appropriate for this. So we'll be right back after that.
Space.
We'll be right back.
And that was Trident by DJ Roborob. You can find that at djroborob.bandcamp.com. And with us tonight, it's an honor to be joined by Mr. Daryl Sims. He's from the Houston UFO Network. Hello, Mr. Sims.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is awesome. So first, we want to talk about the Houston UFO Network. I Googled, you know, UFO in Houston, and this was one of the first results I had. And I live in Clear Lake. Rex also lives in Clear Lake. And so to see a UFO network here in, like, the Webster area kind of surprised us. But can you tell us a little bit about the history of UFON? UFON?
Sure, certainly. UFON, or Houston UFO Network, has been around for about close to 35 years. Oh. And after a large storm, Alicia, it destroyed the hotel where we had a lot of our meetings. And so we finally just, they didn't know what to do. And so they laid down for months and months and months. And I kept asking people, or what are we going to do? Are you going to start up again or whatever? And the leadership at the time didn't know what to do. And so I went down and took over myself. And literally I bought and now own the Houston UFO Network. And with that purpose in mind, continued the investigations, because I was chief investigator anyway. And it's been working ever since. And we just work full time investigating UFO events.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Real quick question: did you guys have any calls on Saturday night?
We did not have any calls as of Saturday night. One of the reasons is that I've been out of town, and I expect I'll be gone within 2 days. I'll be in Roswell doing presentations for the next 5 days.
Oh, that is awesome.
Cool.
That is awesome. If you didn't get any calls last Saturday, what have been some of, like, the local activity areas here in Houston?
Well, our local activity generally involves some, obviously, sightings, and many of which are explained, and some of them are not. Some of them are by engineers noticing craft traveling at extremely slow speeds or extremely fast speeds, and since these people are well-versed on aircraft, we're rather stunned at some of the things they're seeing. But one of the things we also look at is the so-called contact phenomenon, which involves contact with entities of a UFO. And in those cases, we've actually done 24 surgeries thus far on people who alleged human-alien contact and apparently have had some type of object placed inside them, and as a result, we surgically remove them and find out what in the world they are.
Hmm. And that's one of the things that I wanted to touch on a little bit, because I was reading your bio, and it's really, really amazing and really interesting. Let's go ahead and talk about it now. Those implants and the fluorescence and all that, how did that actually come about? How did you discover that there were implants inside of people that had been in touch with aliens?
Well, the implants themselves are embedded objects left inside people, and this is a very rare event, by the way. It's people who've had contact or seen UFOs, so are not people who've been implanted by a foreign object by an alien presence. That's very rare. But the cases where we did have that, and I did discover this back in the 1960s, and as a result, I've studied this for quite a while until finally I decided in the late 1980s to make some of this stuff public. And as I did, then in 1995, we did the first public presentation of surgeries, made this public open to the public, and people came in with cameras and everything else and filmed the whole process. And we removed several objects from two people from the Houston area, by the way. Whoa. And the objects were taken to, studied by 18 scientists, where I presented the case in Las Vegas to the Bigelow Foundation. And the objects then were taken by them and presented to Los Alamos and New Mexico Tech Labs, where the objects were shown to be extraterrestrial in origin.
That's crazy.
So why would the aliens want to implant, certain humans, and, like, kind of what are the, what do these devices do?
Well, those are great questions, and the first answer, it's easier to describe what they're not, and it kind of makes it clear. These devices are not tracking devices of any kind, because they already knew who you were at, because they got you. I mean, it's just that simple. If you've been implanted, then they caught you. They knew where you were at. And the second part of that is that 45% of the people that we've studied, and we keep good stats on these cases, 45% of these people are Native American, Indianapolis, Celtic. Now, that's pretty amazing when you consider that when we went to Turkey and did a presentation there twice, the Turks all said, well, Mr. Sims, we're all Turks. We're not Native American, Indian, Irish, or anything. We're just Turks. And I said, that's not true. I said, those stats are going to be true anywhere we go. And they did a large study through the major university there in which they came to the United States and took DNA samples from certain Native American tribes in the north, and they took the samples back and tested their own people and found that the Turks are Native American, Indian, Irish, Native American Turk. Yes.
So it was like a long time ago they shared a similar ancestor. It's just that they migrated elsewhere in the world.
They did, for a fact. In fact, if you go to Google and you type in the name Sequoia, who is the innovator of the first alphabet by Native Americans, which was a Cherokee man, and you type in his name, Sequoia, you'll see him standing there with his little Cherokee alphabet, you know, a little painting of him, with his little alphabet. But you notice, if you look carefully at him, he's got a little pipe that he's smoking, and as you look at the photograph carefully, look at his head, and you'll notice that he's wearing a turban.
Oh, I see that, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. That is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So it's funny, it's like, through researching extraterrestrial things, we were finding things about ourselves as well.
So. That's true. One of the amazing things to me is that everywhere you go, and I've been all over the world, in fact, it looks like we're fixing to go to Australia and Italy, and India next, on some implant cases. And the amazing thing about all of this to me is the consistency of the stories worldwide. And for the last, we've got cases that go all the way back to the late 1800s in abduction encounters. And if those stories are true, and we believe they are, if that's true, then it's amazing that these stories have this enormous consistency of entities, and the events are the same, and they don't change. That's just amazing. And that's consistent in other countries as well. You go to Turkey and you find they say, well, we don't know anything about alien abduction, yet you start asking them questions about the jinn, and they get real scared and say, we don't talk about those. Those are the little people that may take you away and never bring you back. Yeah. And you go to the Irish, and they say the same thing. You know, the wee folk, the fairy folk, they may take you away and not bring you back. And it's the same story everywhere you go, even with the Cherokee Indians. It's the same story.
Oh, wow. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
There's also that you're the one that discovered the extraterrestrial fluorescence. How does that work?
In 1992, I was working with a lady. She was actually a multimillionaire. Her husband was, and she, of course, had the money as well. And she had an extraterrestrial encounter, and what they call extraterrestrial, it's alien entity of some kind. And as I began to look at the marks on her and things like this on her arms, and I pulled out a black light and checked her arm, and she said, sure, go ahead. And as I did, we were rather amazed when we found a Mandelbrot set, which is it's kind of like a heart-like construction imprinted on her arm in fluorescence. Now, you can't see that, of course, without a black light, because it would be invisible. But the mathematical construction is called a Mandelbrot set, and it was it's an illustration in fractal geometry of the different order and chaos. And it was on the inside of her arm. Of course, it scared her half to death, and she ran to the bathroom and started scrubbing on her arm, and the more she scrubbed, the brighter it got.
Oof. Wow. So it's basically, after an abduction, they tattoo you.
Well, it's kind of like that. There are at least two different levels of that particular procedure that I discovered. One of them is through casual contact. casual contact means like where they physically touched you and grabbed your arm and took you somewhere and so on. If that's true, within a few hours, if you check yourself for the black light, you'll actually find the fluorescence in the form of a handprint where they actually touched you. It's like an alien sweat, so to speak, and it penetrates the skin subdermally on contact. The other part of this is a procedural technique in which you might refer to as a tattoo, but it's the equipment itself, the procedure that they're using will leave an imprint on you, which will look more mechanical, so to speak.
And I mean, it's like with crop patterns where they have those amazing, you know, geometrical patterns and shapes. Is that the same thing that happens with like these markings sometimes?
Not really. The crop circle phenomenon is quite different. And again, I did this presentation on this in Slovakia twice. And there were scientists there from Russia and other places. And my statement to the audience was that, in my opinion, that about 90% of these crop circles were, in fact, bogus or faked or had been done by the intelligence or military people. In fact, you'll find most of the crop circles are literally next to a military installation. And they said, well, these have been microwaved. I said, I didn't say they weren't. I just said that the alien didn't do it. I said, the intelligence community, and I used to be in the intelligence community for 2 years during the Vietnam War in Central Intelligence Agency, and one of the purposes of the intelligence community, of course, is to create a cover story for the things that they're wanting to do, and the idea is to hide the things from you that they want to know, and then, of course, lead you on a red herring with everything else, and that's just consistent, and anybody with the slightest interest in UFOs can study that and look at the way the government's handled the UFO thing. I mean, Roswell alone is a good example, where I'll be this next week. The government has already told four different stories about Roswell, all of which discount each other's story, and they're all the truth. Four separate stories of what happened.
And they're all official, in quotations.
Exactly. So, which lie do you want to believe in? They give you four flavors.
do you also find out, like, the opposite, where the government might make it look like it's extraterrestrial, but it's actually more of a terrestrial thing. They're just trying to cover up maybe a military weapon or a secret base.
Oh, certainly. We were living near the Cash Lanham event. Now, for your audience, the Cash Lanham event is a UFO-like thing. It's called a UFO that came down outside Huffman, Texas, and it came down real close to the road, burned a hole in the road, and three people, two women and a little boy, one of the ladies got out, and the other two stayed in the car. They all got radiated, and everybody said, well, that's a flying saucer. Well, it wasn't. That was actually a government project. It had about 20 helicopters around it, and that was within 5 miles of our home where that happened. Now, the amazing thing about that is the Texas Department of Roads has no clue of how that section of road got replaced overnight.
Oh wow.
No one has a clue how that road got fixed and where the radiated material went. No one has a clue.
That is insane. And, you know, I was looking through her bio. It's incredibly impressive. Like, you have some credits that, I mean, of course, if you're going to be facing aliens, you're going to have to know some karate, right? And your fourth degree Shotokan, you know, Japanese karate black belt, right?
Yeah, I was a martial art instructor for many years. In fact, I taught the martial arts for the Central Intelligence Agency when I was involved in that for 2 years in the military.
Oh wow, that's really awesome. But the other thing I did want to hit on that I saw in your bio is all the therapy and the hypnotherapy that you do, and I was interested in you know, how an abductee is treated.
Well, when two of our abductees were actually on Bill O'Reilly's program a couple of years ago, and we agreed to let them go on, and a lot of people thought they would be treated very poorly and so on, but they were not. In fact, he told them, he was shocked listening to their story. They're two Houston people, and he, one of them is a therapist here in Houston, as a matter of fact, and he told both those people, he was stunned when he heard their story, and he believed it. And he said, if that had happened to me, he said, I would have never told anyone. Any to ever. And he treated them with kid gloves. He really did the right thing and took care of these people. And they're very honest with a great deal of integrity.
No, but when it comes to like the therapy, is it a very long treatment?
Not really, because in most cases, you have to understand that most of these people are just like you, me, or anyone else. They saw something or heard something or experienced something that no one else did. That doesn't mean they're mentally ill, because they saw or heard something, especially when they have it on film, tape, or there are 30 other witnesses, is an example. Now, some people have had encounters that were so severe they did need therapy, I mean, from this sort of thing, but the vast majority of people, according to studies at Harvard and other places, these are normal people that have had extraordinary events, and they simply don't know how to explain them. That doesn't mean they're mentally ill, because they saw or experienced something that no one else did, perhaps.
Yeah, well, and like through the whole thing, you've mentioned that there have been people with implants from the Houston area, people that have been, you know, been abducted from the Houston area. How lively is the, you know, this phenomena here in this area?
The UFO phenomena is fairly well hidden, because most people, especially if they're professionals, are not going to want to come forward. And I'll give you a good example. One day, a gentleman called me on the phone and identified himself as a medical doctor. And he said, "Well, we're not weird like you people." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, just because I've seen some UFOs and stuff like that, but we're not weird." I said, "You mean like if we've seen something and saw more than you did, that would make us weird?" And you're not. And finally, he laughed and he says, "I'd like to come over and talk to you." And he did. And I worked with him for about 30 minutes, and he was sitting there in tears describing his events with his children and his wife. And, I mean, it was the whole family were involved in this thing. And I said, "Well, welcome to the club. You're weird like the rest of us now." But they had marks on them and things that the doctor himself, of course, examined. And he said, I have never seen such markings on people before in my entire life. And he described to me, showed me the pictures, and I showed him other pictures of other people that had the same marks in different parts of the world.
So the alien phenomena is very active here in this area, even though we don't hear about it then?
It is quite much, quite a bit, and the reason people come to Houston UFO Network or give us a call and talk to us and so on is because they've often got events that they just don't know if you're going to publish them or something like that, and the fact is we do not. Some of the cases I'll be working this year out of country, most of those will remain completely silent. I mean, you may hear about it, the results of it, and so on, but the people themselves will never be named in most cases, because they choose not to be.
Wow, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. We won't take more of your time. I know you have your conference in Roswell to do. But if we want to come out to, you know, hang out at the Houston UFO Network, can you give us any details on how to get in touch with HUFON?
Can the details I would like to give your audience are you simply go to the meetup.com. Mm-hmm. And when you go to meetup.com, just put there's a slash there and says Houston UFO Network, and it'll automatically take you to our page, and it will show you where the meeting's at there in Webster. We have a wonderful location and plenty of room for everybody, and everybody is extremely friendly. There aren't any kooks. We don't have any weirdos, I'm sorry. But they're just average people. A lot of them are professional people, by the way. You'll be real surprised. Many of them are professionals.
No, I mean, and some I'm of them
have
area.
Experience and others have not. But they're very interested in phenomena. But meetup.com is the place to go.
Yeah, I'm in the area, so I'd love to come out to one of the meetings soon. So
we'd love to have you out there, and you can also go to alienhunter.org, and that's my actual official website, and you can find a lot of stuff about us there as well. And in fact, you can even see a couple of implantees on film that are describing their events as far as Brazil, and one of them is at Roswell.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll take a look at that, and of course, we'll have the meetup link on the podcast page as well
when we post this up. Thank you so much. That would be wonderful. meetup.com/The Houston UFO Network, and if you go there, you can even sign up, and it'll send you information about where we meet and everything, and does it automatically.
Oh, awesome. So we're going to go ahead and leave you guys with The Hour Has Come to Fight. It's from an artist named Tommy. This is from his album Outer Space Adventure. We're doing a very space-themed show, so I thought this was appropriate, and we're going to come back right after that. So that was The Hour Has Come to Fight from the album Outer Space Adventure by Tommy. You can find that on the Rosso Corsa music catalog. These guys, Rosso Corsa, all it is Outrun, electro, synthwave, chill wave, all like 80s style.
Well, like Outrun? Like Magical Sound Shower?
Well, Laserhawk is one of their artists.
Oh, okay.
So you know who Laserhawk is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So yeah, it's an awesome... and they pump out like 5 albums every day.
On Bandcamp, yeah.
Yeah. But that was a really interesting interview with Mr. Sims. I am a very fond believer of the alien and extraterrestrial phenomenon and stuff.
Yeah, there's just... I mean... There's something out there. There has to be. We cannot be alone here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have you guys had any ET experiences?
Not necessarily. I mean, we've all seen like kind of strange lights out there, and you like kind of can't explain kind of lights. I mean, lights that fly in the sky and then move in weird patterns and kind of disappear. I've seen my share of those, but yeah. Personally, I haven't seen an alien or.
Well, the reason I asked him about if they had any reports on Saturday is right after you left when we were hanging out, Ryan, at Richmond Arms, there was a flock of, like, lights in the sky. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and at first I was driving, and he called me. I'm like, all right, what are you talking about? He sent me the photo. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I sent it to the group on Facebook to talk about that, and yeah, there was just a ton of them. A lot of people were like, they're Japanese lanterns. And
we were out at, I left around midnight. Like 12:15, and then you remember messaging me at 12:30. Who the hell are we launching those Japanese lanterns? It's raining.
Yeah, it was rainy and windy.
Raining and windy. I'm actually more scared of crazy people launching Japanese lanterns in the sky at midnight than aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was my experience on Saturday. There was another one on. Tons of years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, there was a Christmas parade in my town, and everybody, like the entire town was there, and everybody looked up to the sky and saw something it was crazy. It was like a bunch of spinning lights that actually like took off at one moment. Mm-hmm. You know, like an ET at the end of it where it like leaves a trail?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that.
Oh, so it actually interacted with the ground and left a trail, or...?
No, in the sky.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird, and I mean, that's something that was seen by, what, 800, 900 people for the Christmas parade. I was like, whoa. And
Santa
also,
Claus.
My false one is, the whole ET phenomenon became a fear of mine when I was a kid, and I remember Fire in the Sky came out.
Oh, man, that was a scary movie, and I was, I think, yeah, we're the same age, so I was kind of the same age, and I was watching a lot of sightings, and I liked that show, and it scared me.
Well, no, my older brother, I mean, I had that older brother that would pick on me to toughen me up, you know, with tough love, and so he made me watch half of it.
Oh,
and
no.
I just couldn't, so in retaliation for me not being able to watch it, he comes into my room, he kicks in my door, like opens in the door, grabs me. This is at night sleeping.
How old are you?
Oh, no.
Maybe like 12.
Oh, man.
So I don't know. And so he grabs me, wraps me up in my covers, and carries me by the covers. And so, I mean, I'm 12. My brother is in high school already, like graduating already.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wraps me in the covers, picks me up, throws me in my closet, and presses weight against the closet and shines the flashlight in the little slit underneath.
Oh, my God. That's
and just starts making weird noises, and I just flipped out.
Okay, now that sounds hilarious, but I bet when you were 12, that's like the fucking
It was terrifying.
Scarred for life.
But now when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, that was really funny.
That was inventive. That was inventive.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that was my faux ET phenomenon or contact. But no, I really want to attend one of those, you know, hangouts and stuff and see what the Houston UFO Network is all about.
Yeah, and just see kind of like, and I want to learn more about like, you know, the whole like implants and kind of how people handle it, and more in depth than just like what is that in the sky, what's this, ancient aliens. No, really in depth. I want to see some actually thought and science put behind it.
Yeah, and I mean, if you guys are rolling your eyes because like, oh my god, aliens, hoo. No, this is like more actual science fiction than it's real science fiction.
Yeah,
you know.
So science fact.
Science fact is, yeah, that's a better way of describing it.
And we're not done with guests. Right now, we're going to bring on Derek Lamphere. He's going to talk a little bit about a really cool event coming on July 5th. So later, Derek. Thank you for joining us to talk about this amazing and exciting event happening this weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Wait, you have an event like the day after America's birthday. Does that make it more or less American?
Probably slightly less by a day.
Aw.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine still. So so what are you doing on Sunday?
So on Sunday, we start at 11 a.m. at Asgard Games. And we are hosting a Hearthstone Fireside Gathering Championship. And what that means is typically Blizzard's been doing these things, little get-togethers, local get-togethers called Fireside Gatherings. They've turned it into an actual tournament in which the final winner can win upwards of, I think, $3,000 to $5,000. This is a qualifier tournament, so it's essentially our region, which is Houston. And there's not a huge, there's a lot of players in Houston, but there's not a huge, I guess, community following where everybody gets together. Everybody right now kind of stays at their homes and plays from their laptops or their iPads or their phones. And this is an opportunity to kind of not only have a fun little tournament, but also meet other people that play, probably make some friends on Battle.net, which is the whole little social app that runs all these games, and generally just kind of share the game with everybody else. So there's a little bit of competitiveness to it, and a little bit of just fun, meet other people that are into the same thing kind of thing.
I don't know, when $5,000 are on the line, there's a lot of competitiveness.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to be clear, this particular event doesn't award $5,000. This is just kind of a qualifier to the main event, so to speak.
Where's the main event?
They haven't actually said yet. Blizzard hasn't put that out yet. But whoever wins our tournament here in Houston is definitely going to go through to the next stage. So they will be representing Houston and probably the greater Houston area. I think there's people from San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas coming as well, because no other major Texas city seems to be hosting this. So
that's awesome. Y'all are bringing it here in Houston, because it's Houston. So yeah, how are y'all going to have it set up? Are y'all going to have computers, tablets over at Asgard Games?
That's a good question. Most people, I'm going to need them to bring their own machine. We have Wi-Fi and ways to connect to the internet, because you do have to be connected to the internet for the games. But hopefully everybody brings their own. I mean, they need a phone, an iPad, an Amazon tablet.
Everyone has at least one.
Hopefully, yeah. Yes. That's what I'm hoping for. So it's the first time I've done this, at least in a local setting. So hopefully that everybody has kind of their own thing. I might have a couple machines, but I don't want anybody to hold me to that, because they could go very quickly.
Yeah. And I know there's rules to every tournament. I, you know, used to be part of the fighting game community and everything. On this one, is there anything, because I know they're decks, is there anything banned?
There's nothing banned, and that is Blizzard's rule. They don't want anything banned, so there's no banned classes. If you're not familiar with Hearthstone, there's 9 different class types you can play as that dictate what your deck does. There's no banned classes. There's no banned cards. Everything is tournament legal. The main rules that you need to know if you're going to show up to this thing is you need to have 3 different decks, and they need to be each from 3 different classes, if that makes sense. So there's 9 classes total. You need to bring 3 decks, 1 from each class.
That's actually pretty cool, though, for Blizzard to be like, hey, our thing is very leveled. There's not going to be any ban because we tested this, and these are all fair game.
Yeah, and, you know, this game's fairly new still, so it hasn't been around as long as something like Magic or some of the other CCGs out there. So really, I mean, there's not a lot to ban. Like, if you banned any cards at this point, like, it kind of would detract a lot from the game, I feel like.
Sure.
I forgot what I was going to say. Uh-huh. Sorry. No, would this be a good place for, like, someone, since the game is kind of new, to kind of look into what Hearthstone is? I mean, because I know it's a tournament, and there's going to be a lot of people that spend, you know, being a Blizzard game, you know, 500 hours in 1 week. But could a beginner, like, look into what the game is all about?
Yeah, so I think that's exactly what I want, actually. So we're going to have some people who are old vets come into this thing, probably pretty competitive. This is also a great opportunity just to come and learn the game. It's a free-to-play game. It's really well done, though, so there's not really a lot of paywalls. You can jump into the game and have quite a bit of a set of cards without spending a dime on the game. But unlike a lot of the other free-to-play games out there, you can actually be successful with kind of just the basic cards or the cards that you earned on kind of a free play mode. You know, obviously you're going to collect those cards a little slower than somebody that spends the cash, but you can still be competitive, and it's a great time to come in and learn the game. So if you're just kind of like, well, I've heard about this Hearthstone thing, it seems like it's pretty cool. I'll be happy. I mean, I will sit down with you personally and teach you. I love to show people this game. It's one of my favorite games ever. And so even though there'll be a tournament going on, we actually are also going to have some free play events going on. So as people kind of get eliminated from the tournament, or people that don't really want to be super competitive about it and they just kind of want to play or meet other people that play, we're actually going to have some prize support, and we'll have something for the first and second place winners of the tournament. Obviously, the first place guy or gal will move on to the next phase of the tournament or of the overall championship. But we're also going to have some awards for just general free play, so you can actually earn some cool Hearthstone-related swag. Just from coming in and accomplishing certain things. I'm kind of trying to keep it under wraps for now, just to kind of keep the suspense going. But you just come in and play and have fun and meet other people that play, and you do have a chance to win a prize, even if you aren't the top guy at the tournament bracket.
Is it exclusive, like Fireside swag?
So I actually was able to get some official Hearthstone Blizzard swag that they sent to me intentionally for this event. So
there you go. Boy. That's all you have to say, then the nerds will flock.
Yeah.
They are actually, they've sent me a big old package. It's taking every ounce of will, not just to keep all the cool toys that they sent me, but we're definitely going to have some pretty cool stuff that you can just win.
Talking more about the game, have you played any, like, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, or any cards before playing Hearthstone?
So I've dabbled a lot. I'm a big gamer in general myself, right. Both on the tabletop and on the computer or on a console. So I've done a little bit of everything. I've definitely played some Magic and some other types of card games, both successful and unsuccessful, ones that don't even exist anymore. I guess the cool thing about this one is, you know, it feels like a physical card game, even though it's all digital. They can do some cool stuff with this card game.
So how is it different from, like, Magic?
Yeah, that's you know, it feels like a almost, and I say this with a grain of salt, it feels like a watered down version of Magic, but that's only because it's easier to get into. It's okay. Very deep. It has a lot of depth, like Magic does. But one cool thing is, if you're not really much of a rules lawyer, and you don't like to sit there and figure out every single interaction with a given card, you can just play it on this game, and the computer takes care of all the hard rule mongering, I guess you could say.
Oh, okay.
So it's easy to get into, it's easy to jump into and learn. It's difficult to really become a great player, though. So there's a lot of depth.
That's the thing about Magic, is like it feels like the barrier to entry is really high, because you're like, oh, I gotta learn all these rules. But I guess with Hearthstone, it's more like, hey, jump in. That's what Blizzard's really good at, though, to kind of take something and make it much, much easier for a lot of folks to get into.
Yeah, and they're kind of known for that, I think. If anybody here is a fan of Blizzard games, it's really always easy to get into their games, but they're deceptive, because you don't always notice how much depth their games actually have until you spend, several years playing their games. So
hey, I just got out of WoW last year. Leave me alone, people.
Exactly. And I've definitely been there. It's like, even something like WoW or StarCraft or even the new Diablo, I mean, it changes so much too. So they're so well known and as a game developer that they're always going to support there's always money and power behind that game. So Hearthstone is no different. Obviously, it's kind of their first entry into a free-to-play style game. Now they have two free-to-play games, but it was their first one, and you can tell they were late to the party, so to speak. But they kind of waited for everybody else to make their mistakes and kind of make it work despite that, and learn from others' mistakes.
That's kind of how WoW came along, and then the Heroes of the Storm, and I guess what's that game that they're going to come out soon? The shooter.
Overwatch,
that's it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to jump back on Diablo whenever 2.3 comes out.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that myself.
Yeah, so it'll be more...
I'm a Blizzard fanboy myself, in general.
Well, also, you should bring in Heroes of the Storm for competition as well. I know people are like foaming at the mouth for that right now.
Yeah, so I've been in that game since Alpha, and it's really changed a lot, but it's incredibly addicting. It's a good alternative to Dota or League of Legends. So, especially if you don't have as much time to play, if you work for a living. So
here's Space City Nerd. We're like, we really, really want Blackthorn to be in Heroes of the Storm. Yes.
So badly. It needs to happen really bad. It makes too much sense. You'd be perfect.
Have you guys been playing a lot of Heroes?
We played a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, but I can't wrap MOBAs around my head. It's a different way to play.
I'm one of those really grumpy gamers, like old school, that I'm kind of like, I don't understand what the kids see in this anymore. In MOBAs, so.
I'm a big fan of that game. I would play a lot of that. But, also back, to the Hearthstones thing, since that's what we're talking about. I like it because you can pick it up, you can play a game, and, if you only have 10 or 15 minutes to play a couple rounds, then that's all you really need. And that's the other thing about this whole event, is I don't really think this is going to be like an all-day thing. Probably get started. I'd like everybody to be there around 11, but we'll probably get started around noon officially, let's actually start playing kind of stuff. And we'll probably be done in a couple hours, honestly, so you don't even have to devote your whole Sunday to this.
Yeah, you don't have to bring like your deck boxes and your mats or anything. Just bring a tablet and that's it.
Yeah.
that's so cool about that too. You can just show up, you preset all your decks, and then you just have your phone. You're like, all right, let's play.
Yeah, and so I mean, we're pretty excited about it. It'll be we did have a different tournament over at Asgard earlier this year. This will be the second one, and I think this is going to be really the one that kind of gets the community together. So I mean, if you happen to be listening to this podcast and or you're in, you already play, like, this is the thing to go to.
Sweet. So that's going to be on Sunday. meet up at 11, starts up around noon at Asgard Games. That's on Shepherd, right?
It's on Shepherd, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, on Shepherd. And then we'll also post the event page on the podcast link as well. So people are interested, make sure to go this Sunday. I know the 4th of July is the day before. You know, you're going to have some American instill in you and go win it for America.
That's right. You have to win against all the other Americans.
Yeah.
To that's, show that's that you're even, harder.
You're more American.
You're more American.
Yes. You need to invite like some like German champion the day after. Just, you know, relive some of those like old Rocky movies.
Now, I don't know how this tournament or how the championship in general is going to end up. So it's very likely you might be representing U.S. against people from other countries.
They might send you South Korea and then you have to, like, you know, play Hearthstone to, you know, some of the South Koreans with, like, lightning fast fingers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, once again, Sunday at 11, Hearthstone tournament. If you're into that, go. Or if you're not, go anyway so you can learn something new. Because Derek will learn you, right?
That's right. I'll learn you.
All right.
I'll learn you good.
Well, thanks again, Derek, for coming on our show.
Well, I appreciate your guys' time and letting me come and talk about this.
Okay, got it. So once again, remember Asgard Games on Shepherd, 11 in the morning, 12 is starting. All Hearthstone players, Blizzard fans, and just anyone that wants to learn a new game can come out and join Derek in the Fireside Tournament. I'd like to say congratulations to the women's USA soccer team. They beat Germany. So take that, Greece, and take that, Germany.
Come on, don't make fun of Greece. Oh, by the way, going back to the or something, make sure to bring your tablet or your phone. You should have your phone already.
Yes. So,
you know, or you won't be able to play.
That too. And also, you know, we haven't touched on it, but congratulations to the Supreme Court of the United States that, yes, marriage equality happened.
So, because here in Spacey Nerd Week, we're all, you know, we don't want to get in anyone's way. We just want to have our people enjoy their lives and enjoy what they're interested in. So,
yeah. I mean, it's kind of a, I don't know. It's kind of a very logical step. Everybody's allowed to love each other and everybody's allowed, I hate to say it this way, to have, you know, the civil equality when it comes to filing your taxes as married or separated or divorced or single. It's something that should have happened a long time ago because you can't deny love.
No, you can't. You can't really.
You know, and we may lose listeners or anything like that, but you have to realize that it respects religious freedom. It doesn't impose it onto any churches saying you have to do this. If not,
If it's against your religion or it's against your beliefs, just don't get gay married. You know, it's simple. You don't like gays getting married, don't marry a gay. Come
on. Good Lord. But no, congratulations. I know Pride was probably off the chain this weekend. We didn't get to go.
But you know, guest in the show last week, Jacques from the Houston Gamers. Congratulations on their crazy Pikachu on their parade. Yeah, that was crazy.
There was like a ton of Pikachus all together.
Yeah, that was crazy to watch. I saw videos all over on my feed. That was fantastic.
If he would have told us what they were doing, I probably would have joined in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, it was funny because we talked to him on we record on Tuesday nights, and we talked to him on Tuesday. So this is like several days before the big court case, and I bet he'd be a lot happier, crazier. The interview would have been crazier if, you know, that was after it.
Yeah. So I think that's about to do it for us. Remember, stay safe this weekend. It's July 4th.
Don't blow off your hands.
Yeah. Don't blow off your hands. Don't drink and drive. Careful on the roads as well too. And on behalf of myself, Rex, and Ryan, I'd like to thank Mr. Sims for coming on. That was a really interesting interview. And once again, you can visit HUFON, meetup.com, Houston UFO Network. And also, Derek, once again, on Sunday night, you'll be able to...
Sunday morning, excuse me.
Yeah, that one.
Sunday. Yeah, we'll have the event page on our podcast link when we post this up. And since it is 4th of July, it's very customary for us to end with this song. You probably already know which one it is, and if you don't, well, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But on behalf of myself, Rex, and Ryan, good night, Space City. And one more question, Mr. Sims. Have you heard of the ALMAO phenomenon?
Get out of here. Yes, of course. America!